Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day.
Over the weekend, obviously baseball starting up. We had the men's Final Four, that unbelievable finish between FAU and San Diego State on Saturday. We're still on Aaron Rodgers' watch. We're gearing up for Masters Week. But what I was locked into the most over the weekend was the women's Final Four.
You and 9.9 million others.
Isn't that crazy? Was that how many people were watching the national championship yesterday?
And it was record-breaking, by the way. So 9.9 million is what ESPN PR tweeted out.
Okay.
Between LSU and Iowa. And it was the most viewed NCAA women's basketball game on record. Up 103%, and they peaked at 12.6 million. And by the way, most viewed college event ever on ESPN Plus.
So there's a thousand different reasons for that, and it was awesome to watch. Number one, like the game was amazing.
Yes,
and
it was.
I think a lot of it was Caitlin Clark driven. Caitlin Clark, if you don't know the name by now, and I'm guessing you do based on those numbers, she is an absolute assassin for Iowa. She is a superstar in college basketball. I think the best college basketball player, men or women, this year. Like, if you just said, who was the best college basketball player, period, in 2023, it would have been Caitlin Clark. She went for 40 in back-to-back games in the Elite Eight and Final Four, and then scored 30 in a losing effort to LSU yesterday. So that was a big reason people watched. I also think starting the game at 2:30 on a Sunday, or 3:30 East Coast time, is a hell of a lot better than the 8:20 start we're going to get Central time tonight for the men's game between San Diego State and Connecticut, on a Monday night. So there was a lot going in this game. Kim Mulkey, the head coach for LSU, is a legendary coach, but she's pretty polarizing. You either love her or hate her for some of her actions in the past. But the end of this game gave us some trash talk, some taunting, and some controversy between LSU and their star player, Angel Reese, and Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Did you see what happened?
I did. You know, there was a lot of, there's a John Cena, you can't see me. Mm-hmm. There was also, you know, the pointing at the ring. And this
the
is
Joe the, Burrow.
The Joe Burrow, oh, there it is. And you know what? This is the thing about the Joe Burrow. First off, you know, Joey B, Angel Reese, they're representing the same fandom. You know what I mean? And so to me, I think it's natural. I think it was more her playing into something that LSU fans, you know, they were used to, which again is that Joey B, show you the ring. This is what it is. And Angel Reese, she did say that Caitlin Clark had disrespected, you know, the opponents that she had played before. And what's interesting is a lot of people were saying, oh, well, you know, she's never disrespected Angel Reese, you know, personally. But a lot of people will take that as like a cocky, like, oh, so this is what we're doing. All right. Well, when it's my turn, I'm going to throw it right back at you.
Yeah. I loved it yesterday.
I did too. I did too.
Because you're right. Caitlin Clark, the entire tournament, the sniper from Iowa.
Yes.
She was dishing it out. She was chatting.
Yes.
I remember in one of the first or second round games, she looked at an opponent on a free at the free
throw. 4-6 is Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4-6 is Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4-6 is Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4-6 is Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust. Presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Baby.
It's time to talk some trash on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light. The guys, they're like the rest of the state of Wisconsin today. They're enjoying the home opener. Greg Scalzo, Ben Brust, Joshy DiMaggio, all at the Brewers 10-0 victory over the Mets today at AmFam Field. So you've got Brian D and Melanie Ricks as your cousins subs of the day. And we're ready to talk a little trash in hour two of Scalzo and Brust here, Mel.
Hey, listen, trash talk, sports, they go hand in hand.
Of course they do. And they went hand in hand in Dallas yesterday.
Yes.
So of all of the great sports that we have, Caroline that was like talking trash to her, And said back, look at the scoreboard, you're down 30. Like, what are you talking for?
And I love that. So I am so here for that energy.
That's amazing. And she did the you can't see me, John Cena. Yeah. And she did the I can't hear you after they beat South Carolina in the first Final Four game. So she was very willing to dish it out.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're willing to dish it out,
you got to be able to take it.
You got to be able to take it,
too. Did you feel like she was able to take it?
100%.
I think so, too. I think it.
She wasn't angry about it after the game.
I don't think so, either. Yeah.
Right? They got their butts handed to him in the first half of that game and clawed back admirably in the second half to make it close.
Yeah.
But LSU was just better yesterday, and they let Caitlin Clark know about it. This got people up in arms on Twitter yesterday about why is this chit-chat happening and why are they being so mean to Caitlin Clark and why is Kim Mulkey getting teed up for this but Caitlin Clark's not getting teed up for that and vice versa. The whole thing was really bothersome to me because you don't hear a peep when Aaron Rodgers does the championship belt 15 times a year.
It's women.
That's the thing. Like, and trash talk is a part of sports, period. I don't care if it's women's sports, men's sports, giraffes playing sports. It doesn't matter. Like, it's part of getting a group of people together in a high-strung, competitive environment. That's what's going to come out if you're a competitive human.
Would love to see some competitive giraffe sports, by the way. But,
Have you seen videos of giraffes?
I have not.
They when they get angry at each other and fight, they swing each other's necks at each other to the death.
Oh no!
Yeah, and one of them dies.
Oh no! So, I couldn't. I can't. I'm not. I don't know why. I'm never going to look that up
with giraffe sports. But anyway, proceed with what you're going
to
say.
I will never watch that. But good to know.
For those who want to watch,
I feel like when it comes to the dynamics between women and men, first off, you know, a woman can say the same or something similar to what a man says and have a similar same demeanor. And it'd be called aggressive. You know, when a man does it, it's more like, you know, the guy is owning, you know, his role or, you know, being assertive. But then for a woman, it may come off as aggressive or catty or, you know, whatever it may be. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because, you know, the way that it's delivered between women, it's a little bit different. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if we would have seen the exact same type of exchange between two men. And I wonder if that's why. Yeah. Or if it's because it's men watching and us women know what it is.
Or maybe it's just more normalized. Maybe we see it more. Like, you see trash talking. Like, Kobe used to do it all the time, right? And we used to see that regularly. So maybe we got desensitized to trash talk in men's sports.
Yeah.
And because we haven't seen it up close in person, or what was the number? Almost 10 million people were watching it yesterday.
Yeah.
Fair or unfair, we haven't seen those numbers before on a marquee women's sporting
event. That's
fair. Right? So maybe we're just not used to seeing the trash talk that always takes place in women's sports.
Right.
And we saw it on a massive scale for the first time yesterday, which, by the way, is a great thing for women's sports, that we are having a conversation right now about the chit chat and the trash talk that was happening in the national championship
drama.
Game last night.
I'm it was here awesome. For it. No, it was great. It was a movie. You know, it really was a movie. You had to bring out your popcorn for it, for sure. But I also want to ask you, Brian, do you think a lot of the naysayers were men? Because
100%.
And that's what I saw. You know, let's just be honest. A majority of these viewers, they probably are men. You know what I mean? You're just going to get a lot more men, especially that are watching the national championship games. And that's just statistically speaking. And I personally feel like as a woman, I saw that exchange and I went, you go, girl. And I was rooting for both women, both teams. You know what I mean? I had no dog in either fight. And for me, I was on the Caitlin Clark train all the way. Like,
sure.
All the way. But I couldn't help but to be like, get it, Angel. Because, you know, you got to be able to take it.
That. It's funny you say that because in the first half yesterday, I found myself rooting for LSU because it seemed as though going in, everybody had already crowned Caitlin
100%.
Clark in Iowa. You know, it was like, so it's like,
LSU's the underdog, man. Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
For sure.
Even though they lost two games all year,
Jim Mulkey's
a legendary coach.
Right.
It felt like they were the underdogs.
Well, it felt like the whole country was rooting for Caitlin Clark.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then as it swung, and as the trash talk started to happen, and as Caitlin Clark started to hit shots, I'm like, yeah, go Iowa. That's the mark of a great sporting event, is you find yourself just rooting for greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we had yesterday, too. Chef Ed texts into the program, 800-990-3776, and says, trash talk is part of the game. MJ was one of the best trash talkers. I think the narrow minds should not put the women in a box like that.
I
it's
know.
Exactly right. Like, some of the greatest to ever do it were the greatest trash talkers to ever do it. I'm curious, Mel, Folks know that you do the in-game hosting at Fiserv Forum during Bucks games, but you get the opportunity too sometimes to do the sideline reporting when Zora is out and about doing stuff. Do you hear things down on the floor when you're that close?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, I feel like
things that I can't repeat on air.
100%. Like, and it speaks to reason, and I bring it up because this stuff happens on Tuesday nights.
It's normal
against the Sacramento.
Oh, it's so
Kings.
Normal. Yes.
It's just every night this stuff happens.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, I don't know why it is so much more normalized, you know, when it comes to men's sports. I have no idea. And I think, I mean, really, if you want to put a date on it going way back, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, women just being stifled as far as like our voices go and us being able to speak our minds and say what we want. And, you know, there obviously we're still taking steps toward that place where there's equality for men and women. And I just don't think that everyone is quite there yet. I think that people still view women a certain way. And these are young women. They're in college. They should be classy. They should not trash talk. You don't do that when you go to these astute.
The hell with that.
I couldn't agree more. And let's be really honest here. There's all this passion. There's blood. There's sweat. There's tears. You're at the highest peak that you could possibly be in your college career, you know, as a basketball player. I don't care what comes out of your mouth. Let it all fly.
9.9 million viewers for that game between LSU and Iowa. I think a big part of it was obviously Caitlin Clark.
Of course. In her trash talk, that led up to that game.
Yes, exactly. That was a part of making people want to watch. 12.6 million people watching that game at its peak and the most viewed college event ever
on
ESPN Plus, men or women, doesn't matter.
And you don't want, I'm sorry, nobody wants, excuse me, oh, sorry, pardon me, come in there. That's not realistic.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I just hit a 35-foot dagger
sorry,
in your face.
Did I win?
No.
We don't want that.
Throw that out the window. Give me all the trash talk. Give me the smoke. It's a part of sports, and it makes it fun, and it makes us watch. And you want that stuff happening, you know, side by side. We get a text from the 661 area code as well. Giannis with a statement went over Philly and Embiid last night, showing him who the real MVP is. I can't imagine there were any words exchanged between those two dudes last night.
No, zero. Absolutely zero.
And we've seen that rivalry build up over the course of many years between two, right?
Yes,
so I'm hoping that what happened yesterday between LSU and Iowa, between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, it's just the start of the same thing. The start of us watching those two, hopefully at the WNBA level, going back and forth for years.
I mean, we either have just seen the start of a new rivalry or an awesome new dynamic duo who will eventually pair up at some point, like you said, down the line. But also, Brian, I just want to add in there, for all of the people on social media who still feel the need to poke fun at women's sports, like, they're so dated in the way that they view women in the, you know, in women's sports as a whole. It's like, if you only knew, it is so not what it used to be or what you think it used to be. Cause I don't think it ever was what people try to say, but you know, they try to poke fun and say like, oh, people still watch. Yeah. And there's a reason why 9.9 million people tuned in. Excuse me, 12 million people tuned in.
You just said it without saying it. Those idiots behind their keyboards now are now in the minority.
That's right.
Right? That's exactly the way to view it. 800-990-3776, the number for you to get in. More reaction to trash talk. On the other side, it's Brian Z and Melanie Ricks in for Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Bud Light. In for Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Bud Light. Greg, Ben, Joshy, all took the day off like the good Wisconsinites that they are to enjoy the home opener. Mel, which one of those dudes do you think probably had one too many Bud Lights before the game? I you have to finish the question.
Yeah, it's Ben. It's definitely Ben.
I agree. Scalzo is like the responsible dad of the Scalzo and Bruss family. He's the patriarch.
Sure. Yeah.
Joshy has, how do I put this nicely? Joshy's got stamina. You know what I mean?
Like,
Joshy's not a, when he gets after it, Joshy's in for the long haul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
He can start at 6 and still be going at 9 p.m. Benny is yeah, quick hitter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, let's tie one on. Let's get through the seventh inning. Let's go home for sure. So
I love it.
The other thing we've been chopping up in hour two here on Scalzo and Bruss is the trash talk that happened yesterday afternoon in the national championship game between LSU and Iowa, between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Nick in East Troy texts into the show, 800-990-3776, and says, This is a different opinion than you and I had, Mel. Last night's trash talk was not your normal trash talk. She followed her around for 20-plus seconds around the court. If that happened in men's sports, it would have started a brawl. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my gosh. I love it. She just had to get her point across.
Okay. That's one way to view it.
And this is the thing. Honestly, okay, real talk. I don't think that it should have lasted for a sustained period. However, again, they're caught up in the moment. They're passionate. And I do think that us women, we do express ourselves a little bit differently. And that's why, I, in a sense, I have to condemn the men who are sitting here saying it wasn't okay for them to be that way, because Caitlin Clark, she said it was fine. She said everything's good. You know, hey, it's part of basketball. It's all in the game of love and basketball. And as far as I'm concerned, I think they were truly caught up in the moment. I don't think Angel Reese was trying to be, you know, obnoxious. Like, I really don't think it was that.
That was a physical game, too. Like, let's not just say that there was no physicality going on just because it's women's sports. Like, there were elbows being thrown. It was physical.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, if there were a push or a nudge or an elbow thrown in there because somebody was following somebody else around trash talking, I wouldn't necessarily have been that surprised by that.
No.
Because it's, again, it's just what happens in sports. Mel, you played sports growing up. Yeah. I still play men's league sports as a grown man. And when you get people together doing physical activity and competing, it's just going to happen inevitably,
yes.
Right?
Yes. I don't know about you, B. I like have to trash talk to some extent. Like, I mean, even with my dancers, I coach the 414 crew, the co-ed team for the Bucks and co-ed dance team. And I will be like, go out there and go kill this routine.
Yeah.
In a way, I'm trash talking the routine. 100%. Like, I'm like, go make it your, you know what. You know what? And I don't actually say that, but like in my mind, that's what I'm telling them to do that.
Go make it your, you know what.
You know.
I love that.
But you have to. I mean, it motivates you.
So when I was playing sports growing up, and even now for like men's league hockey, I'm a trash talker because I don't have any game. Like, it's the only thing I've got. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Like for Giannis, he trash talks and mean mugs periodically, but he's got game to back it up, too. I'm the type of trash talker that I suck, but all I have is my words. All I have is trash talk, and I can needle you just a little bit. Like, that's my weapon.
You're
out
all
there.
Bark?
Yeah, I'm all bark, no bite. 100%.
I love it.
100%.
Hey, at least you know it about yourself.
Exactly. You got to be self-aware for
that's
sure.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of self-aware, we've also been talking about the Green Bay Packers and whether or not they're already waving the white flag on this season, because they're self-aware that they might suck, so they may as well just take a back seat, not make a lot of moves in free agency, wait out the New York Jets on this trade thing for Aaron Rodgers, and just, you know, take your medicine in 2023,
Reset,
move on to 2024. We've got that poll up on Twitter, at ESPN Milwaukee, at Scalzo and Brust. 37% of people, Mel, think that the Packers are waving the white flag on their season already. That's a lot of people. It's a big chunk of the fan base that feels like they're doing that, but 33% are okay with that. So a large majority of people are not going to sit through a 5-12 season with the 17 games and be okay with that, right?
No. Again, that's not what we're accustomed to. We've definitely grown accustomed to a certain standard of living, of being, and unfortunately, it's unacceptable. But we're also realists, I think, at the same time. And I think we are comfortable, Brian, with it being a rebuild year, but I don't think it's one of those things where we're going to let more than one season of this stand.
That's fine, right? Not more than one season.
Correct.
But one season's okay.
One season's okay.
We did one season with Aaron Rodgers, right? We went through that and allowed him to have his growing pains, and then boom, it happened. And 2 years later, they were hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy, right? So if you're patient and if you're willing to go through that process, it happened quick. We forget about
that. I was
going
to say, I forget how quickly that happened.
So, I mean, Favre's last year was 2007. Rodgers' first year was 08.
Yeah.
2009, they made the playoffs and lost an unbelievable game, 51-45, to the Cardinals in overtime. And then the next year, they were hoisting the Lombardi. So if you do it right, and if you have the pieces around the dude, and if the dude is the dude, right? If he is the superstar.
Which I think Jordan is.
We don't know yet. We don't have enough information to know. But they seem to think he is, right? Yeah. You're not moving on from Rodgers if you don't. If you do everything right and you're patient, it can happen quick. I'm just curious if the fans are going to be patient because they haven't had to be patient for 30 years.
No, we have not. However, do we have a choice? It, to me, is a real question to ask here. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we have to leave it up to the powers that be, and we have to trust them. But then also, Brian, I mean, I really do think that they listen to the fandom. At least I hope they do. And so, again, I think after a year of this, we will make it clear enough is enough. You had your year. You had your time to reset. Let's do some real things and let's get it going.
Here's the good and the bad for Packers fans, and I'll put it as plain as I can. If this lull and them waving the white flag goes on for more than 1 year, Jordan Love's going to be gone.
That's right.
Brian Gutekunst is going to be gone. Matt LaFleur is going to be gone. And guess what? Mark Murphy's going to be gone too because he's forced into retirement in 2025.
That's a dagger.
So guess what? If it works, great. Hooray. We get potentially 40 years plus of terrific quarterback play in Green Bay. If it doesn't, the situation is going to force you into a reset anyway. And you just hope that reset doesn't become a Cleveland Browns, Detroit Lions sort of situation.
A clean out. Yeah, don't exactly. Want that.
One text from the 847 on the ESPN Wisconsin Talking text line. The Packers need a veteran receiver so they can see how good Jordan Love is. 2 second-year receivers with potential isn't enough. If the Packers win 7 games, that's going to be a win for the fans this year. It's more likely they win 4-6. I agree with the fact that they need a veteran wide receiver. My response to that would be,
who?
Who?
Yeah. No idea.
It's April 3rd, right. Okay? Free agency in the league year started 3 weeks ago. If you wanted to go after somebody that was going to make a meaningful impact on this year's Green Bay Packers team, chances are that chance has already passed you by, right? Unless you're going to pay a lot of money and take a flyer on Odell Beckham Jr. at age 30 coming off an ACL, or somehow finagle and find a way to get DeAndre Hopkins, who seems to be on his way out of Arizona. Those are the two names. Outside of that, you're looking at Sammy Watkins again, and we know how that worked out for the Packers this year. And with Odell and with D-Hop, do those scream Green Bay Packers move?
No.
They've never been that type of organization to make the big splashy wide receiver signing or big splashy signing period. That's just not how they operate as an organization.
But now that they're getting rid of a big splashy player in Aaron Rodgers, perhaps
maybe
they'll
be willing. The space, and maybe they do it just to tick him off a little bit.
I mean, it's something. And if that's what they need to do, then great. You know what I mean? I'm fine with it.
Trash talk and motivation. It works, as we saw yesterday, to the tune of 9.9 million people on ESPN. All right, coming up on the other side, we will play a round of 1 or 0. We flip-flopped it with Jason Wilde. He had to go a little bit earlier today. Chris Larson's going to walk us through a round of 1 or 0 on the other side. This is Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
You are listening to Scalzo and Brust on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Bud Light and streaming live on Wisconsin On Demand.
City running through my veins, like tiny bubbles in a champagne glass. Make a body levitate.
Streaming live on Wisconsin On Demand, not only audio, you can check out the video stream too, where you can see Melanie Rick's slick Brewers jersey.
I'll stand up and show it to everyone.
Yeah, show it off on the camera now.
Yeah.
Check it out. We'll pull the clip. Where do you get a black and white Brewers jersey? You said they just had it at the team store?
Yeah, believe it or not. Look. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I got it from the team store online specifically.
Oh.
Yes. And it's a youth jersey, so I don't know. Notice that now I can't stop looking at the camera.
Yes, exactly. Now you're just playing to it.
I'm like, yeah, everyone. And then no, but it's a youth jersey, so I should add that. And honestly, y'all, I just search Brewers jerseys in youth because I always go to the youth first because I can fit into a youth medium.
It's a good problem to have when you problem. Can get the like into youth size and save yourself like $50 on that
jersey. You kidding? Yeah. Brian, you save so much money.
100%.
And the only reason why I even started doing that is because unfortunately, a lot of NBA, I mean, it's not even just the Bucks, but like in general, like as far as NBA gear, they make very few women's options, and they definitely very rarely make women's jerseys. So I've had to start wearing youth jerseys because the men's are just, they're so big.
It's
they're
cheaper,
enormous, and it's cheaper.
I bought my wife's got a Giannis green jersey, and she's got the Coming to America Greek Freak ones.
Nice.
I bought both of them for her, and they were both in youth sizes just because it's
That's
cheaper.
That's adorable. Heck yeah. And
like, I'm shoes outing as well, myself on the radio. I sound like a cheapskate, but it's the truth. Like,
why
it's just
wouldn't
the right
you
way to
say,
do it.
I think you're smart.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're very smart.
Take a deep breath on that.
I know you're good.
By the way, Brian D, Melanie Ricks in for Scalzo and Brust. The boys were out enjoying the Brewers' 10-0 victory. over the New York Mets for their home opener earlier this afternoon. Right now, Chris Larson, who is also in for Joshy DiMaggio, who is also enjoying the home opener today, is going to take us through a round of one or zero.
Are you a one or a zero? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
All right, Chris Larson, take us through it, my friend. One or zero?
All right, starting off here, one or zero. A man ran on the field at Dodger Stadium during the first game of the season and ended up getting tackled by security as he got down on one knee to propose to his girlfriend. I'm sure you guys seen the video on social media about that.
Yes, definitely saw that.
One or zero, the Dodgers are right to ban him from Dodger Stadium for 1 year.
Hold on. It's a zero.
I would say, I just want to understand. So zero means like no, absolutely not.
Yeah, one is zero.
Okay, just making sure.
One or zero.
Okay,
one, you're all in, zero, hell no.
Okay, cool. So what's your response?
I'm a zero. You can't ban the guy. And I'll give you one further than that. Of course, you can't run onto the field during a game, but this guy got decked. Like, this was one of the best security tackles I've ever seen.
That was bad. It was like a movie.
And I think the Dodgers security needs to be a little more situationally aware. Like, sometimes you see a streaker, that guy's got to go down. And that's a tough gig for the security because you got to tackle a naked man or woman.
Yes.
Tough deal.
Yes.
Sometimes you got a guy that's running at a player, and that's a real serious situation where that guy definitely needs to be taken out. This guy, he's proposing, he gets hit. Probably a 10 grand ring goes flying across the outfield at Dodger Stadium. Like, let him get through the proposal. He will take the arrest. I'm sure he had thought it through. He got decked. I think they need to be a little more situationally aware.
Okay, the only thing I would argue, guys, with this, does it matter what he was doing? The fact is that he still did something he wasn't supposed to do. I don't know about banning him. However, if there is a rule in the Dodgers handbook that says any man or woman who runs across this field will be banned no matter what, take them out. I don't care if they're proposing. Then that's the rule. That's the only logic that I can think of, unfortunately. And I really am a romantic. I think it's really sweet what he was doing. And I don't know if you saw what the woman said after, but she said she was in complete shock.
I'm sure.
She didn't know that he was proposing. And then when he got decked, she was just like, what is happening to my guy right now?
So let me ask you a couple questions
here. Yeah, please.
One professional, one more personal.
Okay.
Professionally, you are the in-game host at Bucks games at Fiserv Forum. Mm-hmm. Have you seen in-stadium proposals before that you've maybe not been a part of, but been close in proximity to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw one in our tunnel. I mean, this guy played a game of tic-tac-toe, and he wanted to propose to her during the game, but his fiance actually refused to play.
Oh.
Yes. So we had it planned where they were going to be the contestants, and we pretended that we scouted them, but like it was already pre-planned. She refused to play, and so in my mind, I'm like, oh, she doesn't deserve to be proposed to.
Okay.
But he still plays the game. He wins the game. He comes off, and then in our tunnel, he proposed to her.
Okay, so let me flip it.
Yeah.
If it's you,
oh gosh,
how do you feel about the in-stadium proposal?
I don't think I would want to be proposed to in-stadium unless...
Or in public. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like the idea of it being private, but I do like someone filming it.
Take us through... That's smart, and I screwed that up when I proposed.
Love
take
that for
us
you.
Through... Melanie Rick's ideal proposal.
Oh, gosh. Is this the personal question?
Yes. Take us through it. Paint the picture in as much detail as possible.
I love it. So, first off, I would love for it to be something that's meaningful. For example, Brooke Lopez, he met his fiance, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was at Animal Kingdom. And
big Disney guy.
And he's a huge Disney guy. And his now fiance, she's the sweetest. She's a big Disney gal. And if I'm not mistaken, the story goes, she like was like, oh, I got to go back and get something from the Animal Kingdom gift shop. She happens to meet Brooke Lopez. They fall in love. Okay. Fast forward a few years. He proposes there.
Went back to the site. It's great.
So my ideal engagement would be, you know, some type of memory that goes with, you know, our journey.
That. Yeah. Fantastic.
For sure.
Okay. All right. I like it. Next.
All right. Moving on to 1-0. Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer said after last night's game that Giannis is the MVP after Milwaukee's win over the Sixers. 1-0. Giannis is currently the front runner to win his third MVP award.
One, if you ask me. But if you were to ask a lot of others, it'd be zero. Charles Barkley, though, if I'm not mistaken, he said... It was Kendrick Perkins. I'm sorry. Kendrick Perkins. I was just watching some old highlights on Barkley. But anyway, Kendrick Perkins said, there's no doubt, no question. He is absolutely the MVP. We know he's the MVP. But unfortunately, Brian, Giannis is so great. day in and day out, it's normal now. If anybody else put up the numbers, did the things that this man does, they'd be the MVP.
So who else is even in the mix this year?
Joel,
because he's leading the league in scoring.
Yeah.
Jokic.
Those are the top three, I would say. Jason Tatum was in there every now and then.
Yeah, but I think he's faded a little bit.
Yeah.
Jokic, I think, has the Giannis effect going against him. What I
mean
by
back
that
to back.
Is the back-to-back.
Yeah,
like, the narrative catches up to you at some point. So maybe Embiid.
I think it'll be Embiid.
I think Luka was in the mix for a minute,
at some
but Dallas not making the playoffs is going to hurt them.
Yes, it will. Especially if he gets shut out like they were saying he may.
If the Bucks get the one seed, like, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Like, you
voter fatigue, they say.
I guess, but Embiid, come on.
I know.
I'm a one as well. It's got to be honest at this point. And who knows? Maybe this stuff changes over the next 2 weeks before the playoffs actually begin.
For sure.
All right, next one here, 1-1 or 0. Caitlin Clark, we talked about earlier in the show, finished with the most points in an NCAA tournament, of men's or women's, the most assists in a women's NCAA tournament, the most threes in a women's NCAA title game, and ended South Carolina's 42-game winning streak. 1 or 0, you watched more of the women's NCAA title game yesterday than you will watch of the men's game tonight.
100%.
One.
and for no other reason, like, number one, I was interested in watching Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, if you think I'm staying up until midnight tonight to watch UConn San Diego State on a Monday night, you're outside your mind. That's the biggest problem that college basketball has right now on the men's side. Is they've always done championship Monday night. I get that, and it makes the final four games and the semifinals on Saturday awesome.
Yeah.
But 9:20 East
Coast? I
know,
that's too
much. Can you imagine being... Like, I guess it's great for San Diego State, right? It's a 6:20 game for those fans.
Yeah.
But can you imagine being a 12-year-old UConn fan that grew up loving UConn basketball, your team gets to the national championship game, and it's at 9:20
well, kids,
on a school night?
Kids can stay up late. They
I guess
don't
it's
mind.
Spring break.
But I do hear you. Yeah.
It's like,
it's too late.
It's too late, and I would not be surprised if the ratings for that game with two teams that weren't necessarily blue bloods are worse.
Oh, they will be.
Than the Iowa LSU game yesterday.
I'm sorry. I don't think that they will come close to those ratings.
I totally agree. Yeah. Next.
And we wrap up here 1 or 0 with one more. Former NBA player Charles Oakley recently gave his thoughts on the Jordan versus LeBron debate using a cereal analogy. Oakley said, so when they always make the comparison, who you like, LeBron or Mike, I says, Frosted Flakes, Corn Flakes, Mike, LeBron. So LeBron got no sugar, Mike got the sugar, so the sugar I ain't have. I'm LeBron because I was Corn Flakes, so it's always a comparison.
Okay.
1 or 0. Either Frosted Flakes or Corn Flakes are in your top five of breakfast cereals.
I love that you preface it, though, with that.
Yeah,
like,
I thought you were going a totally different direction. I thought we were going LeBron versus Jordan and who's
Corn Flakes. I don't know where we were going.
Who cares about that?
Yeah, no, let's talk cereal. That's what we want to get into.
That's hilarious.
I'll defer to you before I give my answer.
You said top five?
Yeah, cornflakes, Frosted Flakes, are there either of those in your top five breakfast cereals?
Oh, man. This is an easy answer. Frosted Flakes, yes, but not Corn Flakes. So can I do a point?
Frosted Flakes are in your top five?
They were. I don't eat cereal anymore. But when I was a kid, I loved Frosted Flakes.
They got mushy so quick, though.
I know,
both
but
those,
I loved that.
The milk hits it and it's over.
It's gross, but like as a kid, I loved it,
no,
Brian.
You need some cereal with some oomph to it.
Like
what's
some oomph? Like
with
tricks
some
or...
power.
Yeah.
You want some like...
Like Fruity Pebbles or no? Is that too soggy?
I'm trying to think of like a player analogy.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Like,
yeah, I mean, even Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I'm not, like, this is going to be a hot take. I'm not super high on because that falls apart a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Doesn't, though? What cereal doesn't,
Captain
really?
Captain Crunch.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
That's got some,
yeah.
That's got some Jokic to it.
Some staying power.
Some Jokic
yeah,
to
got
it.
Some, it's got some beef on it, you know what I mean? It's got some Giannis. Like Frosted Flakes or Giannis when he first came into the league, and Captain Crunch is Giannis now.
So what are Wheaties? Because I feel like Wheaties is like a tough but like old school brand.
Wheaties fall apart too. Wheaties tough but old school.
Disintegrate in the middle.
Wheaties are like, this is it. Wheaties are like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know what I mean? He's a little frail now, but it's just because he's old. But back in the day, he packed a punch.
For sure. That's a great analogy.
There you go. That is 1 or 0. Coming up next, it's Masters Week on the Tee. Episode 2 of the season with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson is coming up at 6 o'clock here in Milwaukee. We've got Alex Stroff coming up in Madison as well at 6. But we're going to talk a little Masters with Gabe Neitzel coming up next. This is Scalzo and Brust presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. Bud Light, Brian D, and Melanie Ricks in for the guys as they take in the opening day festivities, the home opener. Brewers 10, Mets nothing. Bryce Tarang 4 with a grand slam in the fifth inning. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. Greg Scalzo, off taken in baseball. Ben Bruss the same. Joshy DiMaggio the same. Steven Watson made it to the studio for On the Tee coming up at 6 o'clock here on 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee. You were out at the ballpark all day. What the heck happened?
Well, it is Masters week. I couldn't miss this one, Brian.
So we wanted to get these two guys in here. Gabe Neitzel, Steven Watson, they host On the Tee here on ESPN Milwaukee, 6 o'clock on Monday nights throughout the golf season. By the way, Alex Stroh from the Great Day in Huddle coming up in Madison at 6. I wanted to chop up, and we did the Masters with you guys just a little bit here. And I got to start not with Tiger Woods or Rory McIlroy or Bryson DeChambeau or Brooks Koepka. I got to start with my brother, of all people, okay? My brother lives in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Colin D.
You've met my brother. We've played golf together at Whistling Straits.
Yes, we have.
You almost killed a bald eagle on the 4th of July wearing
American
flag
shorts. It wasn't that
close. It was close.
I mean, I hit the tree he was in.
A bald eagle?
On the 4th of July wearing American flag shorts.
He flew away. He was fine, Mel. Okay. He was fine.
It's okay. I once hit Gabe when we played together.
At Whistling Straits.
Okay, very good.
Wow.
Whistling Straits has bad vibes for all of us. We should never go back there. So my brother lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he and one of his friends from down there made the short drive. It's about two and a half hours from Charlotte to Augusta this morning to attend the practice rounds. So last night I got a text from my brother before he went saying, hey, if you want anything from the pro shop down there at Augusta, give me a budget and I'll take a look for you. I said, this could get away from me quickly. I'm just going to sit this one out. So I texted him this afternoon and said, what damage did you do at the Augusta pro shop today? He got hit to the tune of $930 of merch at Augusta.
Sounds about right.
So he don't seem phased at all.
He bought like two half sips.
I was going to say, that sounds very normal.
Now, so as somebody who's actually wandered through the pro shop down there.
Gabe was just waiting for you to say, invite him into saying that he's been to the Masters before.
Yes, so exactly. Yes, I've been there. Everything's pretty reasonably priced. Like the pullover that I got was less than $100, you know, for a quarter zip, which is typical pricing if you walk into, you know, just about any pro shop across America from, you know, if you go to Erin Hills, you're going to find quarter zips around the same price. They don't really gouge you once you get into Augusta, but because you can only get that stuff at the Masters, you just go, well, when am I going to be back here again? Okay, I'll get the extra t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, both those hats look kind of cool, so I guess I'll get both.
You're
so
wearing
it just,
one of them
I was
right
gonna
now.
Say, as I'm staring at Gabe in his Masters hat.
I will have
I
different...
do have a Masters hat, but I bought it on the black market.
Oh, boy.
What's way wow. overpaid for
the dark
it.
Dark web. Yeah.
It was like a $50 hat. I'm not proud of
what,
it.
What $50 what you paid for it? Or
No. Retail, I think it was like probably $20.
Oh,
but like,
wow.
Secondary market
just
got...
Dark web. That's
yeah,
awesome.
So yeah. It gets away from
I mean,
you
everybody
because...
Everybody knows the logo.
Of yes.
Of course.
Golf fan or not.
Well, and that's why I'm so mad at Ben Brust. Because Brust could have had an opportunity a couple of years ago. He stood up Jim Nantz. Him and Scalzo go down, and he had like struck up... some sort of relationship with Nantz from when he played with the Badgers was in the Final Four. And Nantz went, hey, swing by Butler Cabin, you know, to say hi. Dude stood him up. And if you get inside Butler Cabin, you get access to the members-only shop, which even has cooler stuff.
It's just that's just an inexplicable thing.
That like, could only happen to Ben Bruss.
Like, did Ben have any idea, like, the exclusivity of Butler Cabin?
How
like,
could you not?
Yeah, got an invite to swing by Butler Cabin from Jim... Freaking Nantz.
So for those who don't know, Jim Nantz, everybody knows Jim Nantz. Hello, friends. And he was on the Final Four all weekend.
Yeah, if you're listening to the station and you don't know who Jim Nantz is,
Butler Cabin is a little more esoteric, I guess. That's where they do the green jacket ceremony every year. So if you tune into the Masters, the winner goes in there and gets the green jacket from the previous year's winner. That all happens in Butler Cabin. It's like... You know, the cathedral of golf. Like, if you're picking out the top four golf buildings on the planet, that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Ben Bruss said, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
Nuts.
That's exactly what happened.
Absolutely.
But it must
that
be.
That is such a Ben story.
Well, no, it's an athlete thing because the big dumb idiot that I do a morning show with every single day at the height of his powers with Brett, like, after they won a Super Bowl, they got an invite to go play Augusta National.
Passed? You can't do that.
One of the two got an opportunity to go back there. One of them didn't. I'll let you figure out who is who.
Oh, so let me ask both of you. You guys are both happily married. You've been married recently, and there's a reason I asked this question. If you got invited the morning of your wedding day to play Augusta.
This is a good question.
What's the move?
Could she come with me?
That's cute.
Or we'll
elope, do it at Butler Cabin, and then push all the festivities back a week, I think is the right answer.
Yeah.
Could I bring the wedding to Augusta?
See, I think you have to have a damn good excuse not to go. You do.
I think my wife would be disappointed if I turned down the opportunity. But she also knows how crazy I am about this sport.
Yes.
Okay. I think you just pitched the perfect scenario, because I maintained as I went through the entire wedding process that me and my wife would have eloped. Had we done that, though, my mother would have killed me. Mm. Like, my mother would have absolutely, like, she was the one that, you know, she needed to be at the ceremony and at a part of that. But I think she would understand if I got the opportunity to play Augusta National and then me and my wife got to elope and do something down there, I think she would understand. Like, that's the only situation.
Are we sick? Are we sick? Do we have a problem?
No, you're not. You're not. I was going to actually say, Steven, I feel like you married the perfect woman. If she understands that about you, like, oh, yeah, you got to go.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so no question.
We both outkicked our coverage.
Yeah, for sure. I play way too much golf and went to the Bucks game last night, ran into a partner here at the station who, like, just straight up, because everybody knows how much golf I play, oh, you ready to be a golf widow this summer? Like, just straight up asked my wife that. She's like, yeah, it's fine.
I
really don't
widow.
Care.
It's aggressive.
You're dead from March to October. Or he's dead from March to October.
She's just not going to see me.
Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson, host of On the Tee, coming up in just a couple of minutes in Milwaukee. Great Dane Huddle coming up in Madison. It is Masters Week. The Masters officially starts on Thursday morning. The big story of this Masters Week is the LIV guys are showing up. The guys that defected from the PGA Tour are coming back, and they're going to mix it up with the PGA Tour guys for the first time since defecting. They got to pair these guys together, right? Like, we haven't seen pairings yet, but the Masters is going to lean into this, right?
Pairings are going to be announced tomorrow. I doubt the Masters leans into it.
Come on.
And I doubt we get much drama because there are going to be too many people that respect the history and tradition of Augusta National to cause trouble.
So we're not going to get Brooks versus Rory.
I mean, unless they
maybe on together. Sunday,
yeah, that maybe Saturday, nice. Maybe Saturday, Sunday. I mean, obviously they you got to do with the way the pairings work. If you're unfamiliar with the golf tournament, they just start at the back of the field and they work, you know, you pair them up by twos all the way to the front. So if you end up getting paired with somebody from the opposite tour, then there's nothing you can do there. But for the first 3 days, or excuse me, first 2 days where they actually have control, I can't imagine that they try to cause drama by putting Rory and Patrick Reed in the same group.
I want to be a fly on the wall for the champions dinner tomorrow night when you've got a bunch of former LIV guys who have won green jackets that are in the room with, you know, some of the greatest champions in the game and what those conversations are like.
Food fight?
Food fight, yes. Very quickly around the horn.
Best
here.
Food to throw.
Spaghetti for a food fight. It's gonna cause a lot of mess.
Mashed potatoes?
Real quick. Milkshake.
Call.
I want something that explodes.
What's the entree on each of your champions' dinner menus at Augusta? Melanie, we'll start with you.
Oh, I'm going to go with Yukon yellow potatoes because you just
that's
said
the entree?
Potatoes. Oh, the entree. Oh, sorry. Oh, God.
Potatoes.
Potatoes. That's it. All I need are potatoes.
Didn't realize you love potatoes that much. Just
I love
it's a meal
potatoes.
Now.
Honestly, I'm going to go with a nice lasagna.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yes.
Yeah, I
love
think,
me a hearty lasagna.
I think, yeah, like some sort of good pasta, like like a really good pasta dish, you vodka. Know, something like a bolognese, something like that.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to quiz Gabe on past champions dinner menus coming up on the Tee.
Well, stay tuned for that.
So there's some good ones on there, and it's going to be tough for him to guess who has them. I'm going to go with a nice piece of red meat on my as my entree.
Nice tomahawk. Stephen Tomahawk Watson and Gabe Lasagna Neitzeler.
Bones sticking up right out of the plate.
Thanks for hanging out with us today on Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Bud Light. For Melanie Ricks, I'm Brian D. On the Tee next in Milwaukee. Great Dane Huddle in Madison.